The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
What would it be like if you were able to achieve a dream that you actually were afraid to dream it? And then all of a sudden it was real. It was almost like an overnight sensation, something that happened that you were, maybe it was somewhere deep back in the back of your brain, but in reality, you were truly afraid to even say the words, to even have it as a fantasy. And you may not even have known that you actually wanted it, because it was so unrealistic. What if you actually achieved that? Well, it happened to me. I got to achieve a fantasy that most people never get. From the time I was a little boy, I can remember my father and his friends watching Kentucky football and Kentucky basketball, running in and out of a room, unable to watch the last plays of the game, the last seconds tick off the clock, because they were so involved and so emotionally attached to whether the University of Kentucky Wildcats were going to win or going to lose. And as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old little boy, I could just live that dream with them. And so when I grew up, I wanted to play football at the University of Kentucky, but very simply, I wasn't good enough. I could have never played for them. I just wasn't a good enough football player. I didn't know it at the time. But when I became a coach later, I knew that I was never good enough to play at that university. But somewhere in my life as I started coaching, maybe it was hidden, maybe somewhere way back in the back of your brain. Maybe it was. I don't ever remember really thinking about it. But I do remember fantasizing about one day helping this guy named Hal Mumme to get the job at the University of Kentucky. And somewhere along in that process, he said to me, how would you like to coach with me? And I thought, holy shit, would that be pretty awesome if I got to coach at the University of Kentucky? Well, it's a crazy deal. I've got this crazy idea to help this guy get the job. And guess what? It worked. So what happens then if you get to fulfill that dream? Well, today I just wanted to briefly go into what is the greatest things that happen when one of those dreams come true. And for me, the dream job of being able to coach at the University of Kentucky, that state that I grew up in, the state that I cared about those Wildcats, the state that in my hometown, 90% of the people there were avid fans and wanted them to win in everything. So what was the best part of that dream coming true? Well, the number one thing was family. I knew that even if my mom and dad never could say the words, that they were proud of me, I knew they were. You could see it on them. You could see it with the way that my dad's voice would change. And my mom actually, at times after a game, would come up and sheepishly hug me and say, you know, son, we're proud of you. And for me, that was like hitting a gold mine, because it was something that I didn't know if I could ever really do. But to have that is something that most people at my age, as a 64-year-old man today, but in those days, it just wasn't, parents just didn't show affection that much. But the biggest thing was my brother. My brother Bobby was the biggest UK fan ever that I ever knew. He would fight you over Kentucky. There was no place in the world that he wasn't going to scream, C-A-T-S, cats, cats, cats. It didn't matter where it was. He was for the cats no matter what. If they went 0-10, he was pretty sure they were going to win the 11th game. And when I got that job and I got to be a part of that staff for 4 years, there was not a prouder human being in the world than my big brother. And I wanted to please my big brother and make him proud of me more than even I wanted to make my parents proud of me. The other thing that was pretty cool was that when you're at a major college program, you get a lot of gear. And Kentucky was a Nike school, and I got Nike gear all the time that I could give away. So my brother was constantly in the best UK Nike gear, and he could walk around our small town of Princeton, Kentucky, and proudly wear the UK gear that his little brother had given out to him somewhere along the way. The other thing that was really cool was being able to go to my hometown and go to the social clubs that, as a young man, I'd been in no telling how many times and had too many drinks to drink somewhere along the way, more than one occasion, and to walk into that community and to have all of these grown men to look at me and all of a sudden just taking them by, hey, Tony, how are you, man? Boy, how's the cats going to be? Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And all of a sudden, I was the insider. I had the inside information. And people that really, truly thought crazy little brother, that little Franklin kid that was always doing something stupid, had actually made something of himself. Well, there's just not very many feelings that you can ever get from that. After a ball game was over, the neatest and the coolest part was being able to go out into the parking lot with an area that my family, friends, and people who would become friends, that we could sit out in that parking lot all night long and close that parking lot down, drinking, eating, having the best time. And just in all sincerity, win or lose, it was truly a love fest. And when you love something as much as I loved that university at the time that I started that job, you can recruit to it. And so I was one of the best recruiters in the country when I was at the University of Kentucky. Why? Because I loved the university. And when I went into a home and I went into a high school, whether it was in Colorado or Wisconsin or Georgia or Virginia, wherever it was, I could sell the University of Kentucky because I truly loved that university. And I truly believed that we could be the best. And I believed in Hal Mumme. And I believed in what he was doing. And I thought that he could come in there and he could shake it up and he could do all the things that the first couple of years that he was able to do. And one of the neatest things for me is right before a game, walking out into Commonwealth Stadium, and an hour, hour and a half before kickoff, some of the early risers might be somebody from my hometown, or it might be a high school football coach that I'd known forever. And they would look at me, and because that we were friends, and because there was a familiarity, they felt like they were on the field with me. And every time I coached in a game at the University of Kentucky, I knew that I was representing every high school coach in the state, most of who deserved to be there much more than I did, most of whom were much better football coaches than me. But because I did get a chance to do it, I represented them, and I felt incredibly lucky, and I felt incredibly proud to represent them every single time I walked out onto that field. There were the incredible wins, the goalposts being torn down when we beat the University of Alabama in the first year in overtime, had to be the most exciting of any game as a Kentucky football coach and as a Kentucky fan growing up. And finally, some of the coolest parts and the best parts was the office camaraderie of some incredible people, especially Sandy and Janetta and Jack Flig, people that changed my life forever because of their incredible loyalty and their integrity as human beings and lifetime friendships that we were able to establish. But the final part of coaching at Kentucky that was the coolest thing, coaching in your home state, is whether you drink or not, is finding that local bar, not a chain bar, but a local bar that has really good food. And for me, The greatest thing that happened to me as a coach at the University of Kentucky was finding this place called Charlie Brown's, this bar in Lexington that was so dark after 9 o'clock when they would turn the lights off. In those days, there were no TVs, that you could sit and have conversations with your best friends or a stranger who would become your best friend in total basic privacy and just soak up what it was like to be a Kentucky Wildcat and to become friends with the owners, Dave and Larry, and to eat the best food in all of Lexington and all of the country, the best bar food that you could ever have in your life, and to meet people that you would never meet that would become lifetime friends, become such good friends that as years went by, and I was an offensive coordinator at Auburn and got fired in the middle of the season, all the Auburn gear that I'd given those guys, they took it out back and they burned it as a sign of loyalty towards a good old beer drinking friend that they had met through the coaching days at the University of Kentucky. So when you get to coach for your hometown school, your hometown state, I can just tell you this, there is nothing better in college football than having a fantasy that's so far out there that you don't even think that you could even imagine it or dream it, and it actually comes true. And that's what it was like for me to coach and be a Kentucky Wildcat.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.